Okay. Well, thanks. It's been fun.
You can,
I'll see if I can make anything out of that. It's a rare treat when I get James Orler in studio. And this was a fun one. It was kind of a mess. It was definitely different from the usual shows, and we talk about that a little bit. But we also managed in the chaos to go through public records predictions as we await results of the October state elections. Cabin Fever, this is The Weekly. James Orler, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's been a an exciting little election week that we've had here.
Yeah, it's been a minute since we talked to you. So you are the god of the TPR prediction page. Can you give us just kind of a broad overview nationwide? How's things looking as we are, polling places are closed. We're awaiting ballots to get counted. So
right.
What are you thinking?
So we, very unfortunately for the Libertarian Party, after really trying to go after a revamp there after losing the September federal election with Sandoval as chair, they grabbed Valerie, and it looks like they're going to lose most of the seats that they had. At this point, our model is predicting a near full sweep, with the exception of four state legislature positions and two state cabinet positions. And I mean, this was the party who had three governors at the start of August, and ended up not only going through two governors in two states, but now it looks like they're going to lose all of them in this election.
Well, that's not a rosy picture from the resident libertarian here, but we'll go a little more race by race as we go. It was strange to see, because obviously through the last couple of years, we've seen kind of this cycle. And at some point I planned on doing publishing an article on it, but I just haven't gotten around to it yet, of the collapse of parties, or like wings, exactly, of the countries, like the left and the right, just say that broadly. They collapse into all these fragments, and then there's a lot of infighting, and usually that goes on until one side takes a big swing and they're in control, and the other side realizes, oh shit, we should maybe quit trying to kill each other when we agree on 90% right of the shit, and then start working together against the team that's winning. Not too long ago, the Libertarians were in control of a lot. There was like an impressive period of time there where it was like in areas where we weren't traditionally seeing right-wing success, we were seeing it. And in the midst of all this, we have kind of the longstanding socialists, obviously, who have since rebranded to the United Left. The American Liberals, who again rebranded to the Social Democrats, and then this new party bursting on the scene, Global Labor. Well, I say the scene, bursting in Jefferson. And maybe there's a couple people in the rest of the country. I mean, that's
literally,
again, that we're mixing the my polling business with this election prediction nonsense. But I can just tell you, we basically delete any GOP votes that are not from Jefferson, because our likely voter model doesn't have anyone.
Yeah.
So those don't count.
We can confirm from our recorded turnout that 100% of GOP votes were cast in the state of Jefferson.
Okay, well, that makes me feel better about my likely voter model. Because there were a couple showing up here and there. Anyway, my point. A lot of the time, these swings kind of happen in between elections after it was like a big washout loss, and then they try to come together and make something work. Think back to like the Libertarians and the Conservatives. That huge fight back that was kind of over nothing except leadership. And then they come together for a big win. It was strange to watch this election for its normalcy, and that one side managed to hold it together through the election. It did not look like there was a whole lot of crossover infighting, and it was just, they were able to very strategically plot out these resources to demolish the right.
Well, you have to understand that this cycle has been happening ever since, really, since Loder was the president. And it's been a constant cycle. It used to be more of a almost a full presidential term of dominance for one party, and then it would switch. Mm-hmm. With Loder, you immediately saw this rise to power from Labor in October of 2019, right? And they subsequently were able to win the presidency. Of course, it's debated whether or not that was a deserved victory or whether it was more of a throw on the part of the Federalists. But regardless, the Federalists then bounced back and had about a two-month stint of some good actions. And then the Conservatives jumped onto the scene, and you saw that breakdown, and the ALC and the PSLPA both rise. And then we really expected that, okay, then the Libertarians, who were the last right-wing party to emerge out of that collection of parties that sort of existed a little recently back. Mm-hmm. Really, you expected the Libertarians to bump back here and really come for a contention competitive race at the presidency in a month. But right now you're not looking at that because we thought that the Libertarians were over the worst of it. You saw that when the left regained the House under Arkenstone and the left won the presidency, and then immediately after in the August election, Libertarians were able to sweep everywhere except for the North. You really thought to yourself, okay, the Libertarians are on their way back. And then you get a little federal swing back to the left, and you're like, okay, state governments are more right, the federal government is more left. We've seen this before. We expect this to happen. So I think the Libertarians were coming into this thinking, okay, we can at least preserve our majorities in Dixie and Jefferson. And that just was not the case. There was so much confidence thrown behind their chair, Valerie. And, of course, Valerie was sort of made fun of a little bit for making predictions of the Libertarians doing well in the previous federal election, and of course that not coming true. And so when you saw her take the reins of the party, I think everyone sort of really expected her to bring them back and assert dominance at least over Jefferson and Dixie, and instead what you saw is you saw, I think, one of Valerie's best efforts, but ultimately a great effort by the three left-wing parties to collaborate, because you really did not see too many races where there were two very active left-wing candidates. Like, you had races like in the third and fifth districts of Dixie, you saw that there was an SDP member and a UL member going up against a Libertarian, and you immediately think, okay, the vote's going to split and the Libertarians going to be able to win. But instead, both the SDP members essentially took themselves out of the race, did not participate in debate, did not participate in campaigning, and all but endorsed their opponent, who was of the UL. So you're seeing Malcolm and Jess Reed benefit from that. So it appears that there was a lot more collaboration and understanding that the left needs to win as a whole, rather than putting party dominance over anything. And I think that was the key for the left here. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that's something the Libertarians just cannot beat at this point in time, because they are, for all intents and purposes, weak.
Yeah. I will say that is my big concern right now. Again, kind of speaking as the resident right-winger here, quote unquote. I could digress there. My worry is that pattern I was describing of this consolidation and splintering. If this is what the left can do when they're splintered, I am terrified of what they're going to do if they manage to unify. And I say that like under a party banner, because right, even if the competition right now is relatively minimal, it is technically there. You know, all three of those. I don't believe that the Global Labor Party is trying to work hand in hand with United Left forever when they were founded on the idea of being better than the United Left. And then, so that's one end of it. If they manage to consolidate, that's a very big concern for the right wing. Two, the usual remedy for getting your tail kicked in an election of finding a place to consolidate your own base. The Libertarians are already consolidated. So I don't know what the plan is for recovery now. And that could very well mean that we're just, like you said, in the Loder presidency, kind of switching from that relative stability for a few months to this kind of more chaotic turnover system. I don't know if that means that we're on the verge of a new pattern or if the right is just going to be in trouble for a while.
If we look at the numbers right now and we look at what we're seeing, our model is predicting that the Libertarians essentially will win 17% of all of the races. They didn't contest every single one, but they tried to. And I mean, when there are 29 races and you're only projected to win 5, and at best under our model, you can win 8, which by the way is about a 25% win rate, you have been relegated to a third party. And I think that is what needs to be avoided on their side, is that if the country really is trending to assert that the Libertarians are a third party, they're in so much more trouble than they could ever think to be in. Because then that means that there are two dominating sources of ideology, and that's moderate left and left left. Libertarians have no place here. So I think the focus for them really needs to be to identify places where they can win, identify places where they should be strong and where they aren't, and really focus there without trying to spread out too much. Because the one benefit that I think, arguably, I think a quote-unquote divided left is far more powerful than a quote-unquote united left. I think they're more powerful in the fact that they can spread out and cover more ground. Because you very clearly saw the GLP essentially said, here is Jefferson, this is ours. The United Left said, this is Puerto Rico, this is ours. The SDP said, this is the North, this is ours. And we're all going to work together on Dixie. If you are able to get that sort of regional representation and then collaborate in that fourth state, that is so much more powerful than one party trying to spread out everywhere. So I think that that is the first problem that Libertarians need to face. They need to realize we should be winning in Dixie and we should be winning in Jefferson, right? There is the off chance that our model is wrong in predicting that Trent and Rose should be favored in their races, and they may keep a majority in Jefferson. Even so, though, that is a 4 out of 7 majority that is not veto-proof, and Dallas is far and away the winner. I don't think there's ever a chance the computer guy wins this election, barring...
No, I think that was contested at one point, and then it was pretty clear that the tides were turning and those resources went elsewhere.
When you're winning the most races in Dixie, and Beau is winning 2 of those races, and Phoenix is winning the other one, and that's just because he's uncontested. And again, one of those
that's a problem.
Beau is winning is a cabinet seat, and the other one is his incumbency in the first district of Dixie. I mean, it's a problem. And you look at the North. The North held, except for your seat, held every single seat in the Northern legislature. Did not hold the governor, but that was okay. Because unfortunately, both governors Coulter and Elkridge were not really able to assert anything that I think the Libertarian Party really wanted them to. They were both relatively weak governors, especially Elkridge and Arkenstone, both engaging in this sort of back and forth over who was responsible for the budget. I think the citizens in the North really didn't care and just wanted them both gone. So when you see, besides Delegate Stebb, the entirety of that Northern legislature swapped out for new guys, and all of those rookies go in and are projected to win their races, and only one of them is really considered a veteran, and that's Juan Escobar Mendoza, it's astounding, the fact that party is able to reserve that ability. There are just so many alarming things, especially going up into this presidential election, which I'm sure we'll do a podcast on later. Right. But with unfavorability ratings of all of the candidates who are currently slated to oh, yeah, hold on. I'm not running for president. I want to get that out there. I am not running for president.
All right, well, breaking news.
I want to establish that now because fortunately I'm ahead in the polls for every other left candidate. They appear to be divided among party lines, but they should still win. Like, that is such a problem for the libertarians that the left can afford to have this problem.
Barring a Maverick and right. another spoiler who, now, again, we can get into the debate of whether actually Mr. Coulter was a spoiler in that
exactly,
race.
Yeah.
But if we will see, I think it's pretty easy to shuffle around who gets what seats for state legislatures. I'll be very curious to see whether or not this everyone hold hands and play nice will hold in the most competitive race in the country.
Yeah. Hold on, wait, what? I completely blanked out there.
Basically what I'm saying is, yep, that's okay. That's, you're saying that they should win even with primary current, or like the voter preference currently split around party lines. And I'm saying that is true unless this everyone hold hands and get along breaks up when
right.
the stakes are higher than state legislatures.
You have to understand that I think that this agreement, and this is, of course, no offense to former Senator Trash, who, of course, is a gubernatorial candidate, who we are predicting to win, could lose. The incumbent Governor Sandoval is very popular, but we think he's going to win. This is no offense to him, but I think that his form of leading the United Left is far different than how Jess Reed is leading it. Representative Reed is much more open to collaboration, I think. And you saw this with Michigan Lefty, but of course, in his normal fashion, he just disappeared. And so I think with this sort of new leadership, with possibly Governor Dallas, but Representative Dallas, Representative Reed, and Speaker Matthew Hale leading the three parties, all of them are so willing to assert this left dominance. And I think if they resign themselves to this idea that they all have three states and they can all collaborate on Dixie, barring some horrible argument between them, I don't see anything breaking through that. Unless the libertarians start gaining an immense amount of support from independent voters. But right now, I mean, in our breakdown, in the model, we predicted that out of every single independent voter, the vast majority, I'm going to do quick math here, 67% of independent voters, roughly, probably closer to 60% of independent voters broke for the left. That is horrible. When you have three parties,
that's a bad sign.
And they're all working against libertarians. Libertarians at least need help from the independent voters, and that just wasn't happening.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I personally, and we will see. I will obviously, in my my second passion outside of being number two, in this
mm-hmm.
polling business. Words are hard. I personally have a difficult time seeing the growing true left, not in this country, not the liberals that we've gotten relatively used to, but this this block that has finally broken out of actual leftists. I have a hard time watching them line up behind the neocon in chief.
That is such a...
We'll see if that holds.
That's a problem that I think will show itself as soon as the November election is over. I think that your idea of when there's higher stakes, they're going to break off. No. When there are higher stakes, they're going to keep together and they're going to lock arms. And they're all just, going to bash in the White House together and make sure they keep the White House and ultimately likely flip your vice presidency and have a full left White House. Although...
For the record, I'm still available if anyone wants to make a split ticket again.
We'll have another split ticket and go through that problem again.
My phone lines are open.
you know, that would be fantastic.
Yes, we should sometime. That'd be fun.
But this sort of new left, I think, will become an immediate problem as soon as whoever makes it to the presidency. I think that the two most likely candidates at this point are Speaker Matthew Hale and former Senator Trash. yes, I know that he went through this entire thing in his debate where he talked about, I'm not running for president, yada, yada, yada. I think that the immediate moment he wins or does not win that gubernatorial election, he immediately announces his run for president. I don't think there's anything that's going to stop him from doing that. I think that ultimately it was the same thing that you saw from,
I agree. That's
from Garland 4 months ago. It was sort of the save face thing, and then announce a little bit later inside your party, and then a week later in public that you're running. It's a very common thing.
Yes, I think there's a little bit of a difference in there. And I was going to bring up the Garland example for my counterpoint. I think there's a very meaningful difference between saying, for a potential presidential candidate, to say during a race that comes before that, my focus is on my state or district or whatever the race happens to be right now, that is where my attention is, and getting into a Twitter spat in which you specifically say the words, so I have no interest in running for president.
The real difference between Garland and Trash is that the president is very formal.
Like, that's just, one of them is like spin. Exactly. One is spin. One is lying.
That will likely come back to bite the former senator in the butt. But whether now, of course, we're getting rumors of the possibility of a joint presidential primary between the three left parties. I think that's, I don't know if that's confirmed.
Oh, yet. I thought that was confirmed.
Right. Okay.
All right. Well, I'm at least also hearing that. Let's put it that way.
Fuck it. We'll confirm it. No. We're doing it live.
All right. we're getting all kinds of news.
My week after this, apparently.
You have got to get back on that. I miss listening to the truth. And the live leaks that you were getting mid recording. That was very enjoyable.
It was just system finding a way to get all of his shit out.
This show is so scripted, except for this. We do these election specials on very special. These are very different. Usually, I like pre-write my questions, I want the conversation to go. And then the truth just seemed like your opportunity to get whatever you wanted off your shoulders, and then the people listening also took that same opportunity.
This is likely why I don't do it anymore. We'll go back into. It'll
you
be,
should. We
it'll
miss
be
it.
Like daytime television. This is.
True. If you're not running, what else are you going to be doing?
we'll see what happens.
Well.
Anyways, back to the original thing. Oh.
Yeah, we haven't even started going into the actual races yet, but that's okay.
Yeah.
We've been doing a lot of overhead conversation around this, so that's okay.
Make like Garland or Thanos just edit this after this, just to see what they do.
I will definitely ship this off to the president and see if he's busy.
Hostage crisis.
Cut up the podcast
for some fucking reason. So the rumored joint primary. I think that'll ultimately come back to sort of bite Trash in the butt, especially just in that primary. I don't think he's favored to win in all three. I think that according to our estimates, the Social Democratic Party is about around 1 2/3 times the size of the United Left in terms of voting, and 5 times the size of the Global Labor Party in terms of voting. So ultimately, even if the Global Labor Party and United Left get a candidate together, it's not likely they'll win unless they garner some SDP support, which could happen. We don't know. But when your candidates are supposedly... I see you in general, you fuck. When our candidates are supposedly representatives, Representative Dallas, Speaker Hale, and former Senator Trash, you're going to inevitably run into the fact that Speaker Hale is favored to win, despite him being called quote unquote China Hawk Hale. Someone called him China Hawk Hale on Twitter, and then he just released a platform, or well, less of a platform, more of an announcement. But it was just. It's going to be such an awkward transition, and you're going to get like Garland Light. It's like if you had Obama run for president, and then immediately after, like in 2016, rather than Hillary being the nominee, it was Joe Biden. Like, it's just less of a. It's less fun.
Right.
You don't get more of a. It's just more of the same, but worse. And it's. Well, he knows it.
That's an oof to Hale.
It's the same.
Sorry about that cut, folks. We had some technical difficulties here, but we've been talking for a while, and we're just going to get into our. Yeah, it was. That's what happens when you live in Maine. Sometimes the wires just kind of get chewed through. True, this is true. We're gonna get messed up here again. I'm trying to do my intro back in. We've been doing this for a while. We're actually going to get to the part where we talk about the predictions, because we've just been talking kind of broadly nationwide about what things are going to be everywhere. Let's actually go race by race and see who has a chance of having a good day whenever the results actually do come in. Let's start in the north. District 1's pretty easy.
It's
rookie Joey is uncontested. He's going to do pretty well. Yep, this is true. He is a rookie to elected politics.
Yes.
So what I said was also still true. I'm paying attention. This is going great.
He was a libertarian.
Working two jobs is hard.
Anyways.
No comment. District 2. We're blasting through it. The return of Dan Reinhardt.
Okay. So in District 2, we run into a scenario.
He finally escaped Jefferson.
Actually lived in all four states. Like he's had residences. I have not yet gone
to Puerto Rico, but I'm on three right now
for various reasons. One was because of the court thing, but that blew up in my face. So in District 2, we have Martin Walks, otherwise known under the nickname Maswa. I don't know why, but that's his nickname. He currently is favored to win this race with about 42.2%, which wouldn't be that confident of a margin of victory. But he is in a race with three other contenders. Counselor Gray of the DC Council, Moon Guy, who appeared out of nowhere, and Dan Reinhardt. Who, for unbeknownst reasons, is still in politics.
He is kind of, and however much you have to be in to get 5%,
probably be lower. That's if we're being honest. But there are some known memers up in the north, so we might get a little meme vote for him. So that's District 2.
This is true. Okay. District 3, kind of mentioned the return of Juan Escobar Mendoza. Howard Elkridge, back to not rocking elections, unfortunately. I thought he had his break, and maybe he'll be able to recover it in a couple months when kind of memories fade, because the news cycle is about 3 hours long these days. But he came in on kind of no notice to the Northern governorship after being unanimously confirmed by an overwhelming SDP legislature. And I talked with him on the show last week and a half ago, a couple episodes back, about that. And he really said, like, if they had concerns, they had the opportunity to block me right there. And they didn't. We put him through. And then he does get asked to step up into the biggest shoes. And it did not go great. That's right. It was a perfect storm for someone who finally got their break to, like, finally make it, mm-hmm. and then it just kind of in looking at his did history, not the handle first the pressure he ever too won great.
Was District 3 in the, of course, House of Representatives for the North, and that was after losing 7 races in a row.
Yes,
the guy has gone through so much and has achieved so little. For the fact for him to be put against a former governor who was popular, who also died. But we don't have to touch on that. Right. Yeah.
Yep. That's a whole story for another day. Maybe sometime I'll have one on just kind of talk through that whole debacle.
Maintained his popularity in the North. And so with, I'm impressed that our model put him out at 37.1%, but of course we expect loyal libertarian voters in the North. And so I think that's where he derives most of his votes from. That is your seat.
Yeah, and that is my seat. And I would have preferred Mr. Elkridge mm-hmm. take it. I obviously worked with him in the cabinet. I've known him for a long time. As kind of when he first was getting interested in politics, I was one of the people trying to get him started on like how to campaign. Obviously, that didn't go great, but the North is hard. But I'm also pretty good friends with Mr. Escobar Mendoza.
Right. And
he's a pretty reasonable individual. He isn't, I don't believe that Juan is part of this leftward swing that we're seeing,
full
unless he just really played it down in his early career.
A Federalist when he was a governor. He was independent at the time, but his lieutenant yes. governor for better or for worse was Computer Guy. And they took down a team of Cody Clark and Matthew Hale, who at that time had collectively probably experienced one sort of huge scandal, and that was probably Hale's. So for the Social Democratic Party to assert sort of dominance over his votes, I don't think is remarkable. I honestly think he'll act like you in legislature.
That's probably pretty fair. I'm not the most staunch. Right. Like I said, I've made this joke twice now in this show, but
no,
I am not the poster child for the American right. I think there's a reason that I have been able to move to the North and find success on that first election.
Yes.
And so I think that Juan shares a lot of that energy.
The libertarians really need to find the silver linings in this election. I think this is one of them. Yep.
Yes.
That's two.
Steb is still there. Steb's great. We love Steb.
Yeah.
Yep. That was an easy one. Did not need to put a whole lot of work in there.
Can I tell you why I hate this?
Viper race? Versus Hagen in District 5. I would love that. I have a hunch it's similar to why I also hate this race.
Oh, well, you go ahead with your
okay.
two.
I thought we were just going to name the two. But that's...
Oh
no, my two were literally just the words Viper and Hagen. But that's... Those are my two reasons.
Steb's mother comes to mind.
There should have been better choices than
not
this.
Not being able to write bills, not being able to
understand. Okay, yep, that's a good one.
Certain laws have been passed.
Yep.
Of course, right, and overall, yep. Obviously,
just like basic competency.
Endorsements have great impact on our elections. Here's a fun fact. Viper Darius was the second most endorsed
True.
Individual in this entire election season besides gubernatorial candidate Trash. That is the fact that...
That's batshit crazy.
No. And the fact that
this is not a seat that was going to tip the North legislature.
Running against Hagen, of all people, is baffling.
Well, and even then, like, if we take the worst case, you have four.
And
I guess okay. If we take
no, but I mean, there
no,
was
a none of these are none of these are in the margin
there
was of
error. Point where we thought Hagen would win.
So, yes,
yes,
and Gray was actually looking decent for a while.
Mm-hmm.
There was a moment when this could have made sense. It did not make sense to make.
Yes.
If it was 4-1, like it's been 4-1 forever, just since I've been in there, like if Hagen was your minority fight, like, I get that the SDP hates Hagen.
So
if, I get it. I've watched the House of Delegates for a long time.
That was
right before I got in there.
That was entirely justice.
But like, Thanos isn't there anymore. That's like the only reason to keep those two separate. They're already separate.
It was, and so
like, I understand if you just didn't want to be on local TV and, with those two fighting, but it was never going to happen. So like, I don't mind the left wasting their endorsements on this kind of meaningless race.
Right. And then the fact
but
that, I mean,
why the hell would you?
As the Northern Attorney General as well. Right. Like.
Right. Like, you could have tossed one of those and had total control of the state and you would have been fine.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. That's how Hagen and Thanos are going to get back together.
That did not process. I wish it didn't process.
That just processed in my head.
Process for either of them, because I'm pretty sure that they both.
All right, well, we're back. It's maybe that's maybe they'll both realize this when they definitely listen to this podcast, which I'm sure that they both do.
Yeah.
They better. They better.
In Britain,
subscribe wherever you listen. Exactly. That's. You know what that.
Yes, I'm watching.
Sometimes it's just fun to watch the show.
Visual podcast. So then we move on to the governor's race, and that, of course, is Senator Ted Dett and former everything Loader, including. I can't talk. It's rough. It's rough out here, including.
It's hard. It's okay.
Governor,
you'll get there.
Of all things, Loader. And I here's the thing. I understand that the libertarians are desperate, but like, this is one of the moments where I would like. This is one of the moments.
It's been a while since I've heard a Loader rant out of you.
Loader in this like, I've gone on rants against Loader before, and this one won't be extended.
I'm hoping that this ability to get on the mic and do your thing, to just spitball, inspires you to bring the podcast back.
Lovely.
But,
because
I'm probably going to start pestering you again.
Fact
but
that you can put this man in this position, at this point, I'm in the Senate with Valerie every day. And don't get me wrong, it's a pain, but she has such a confidence about her that it has won her every single election. She is entirely one of the most dominant politicians ever. And so to see that the Libertarian Party under her made the conscious and very, very clear decision that their best chance at governor was Loader. Hell, I would have even put Hagen. I would have put Hagen up there. Because at least Hagen can show his face in public. Like, he's idiotic enough to think that he is okay being seen in public. Loader knows that he is a problem child. He is the problem child of the North. Not only because, you know, he's on the right, but also because... Yeah, a computer guy left, and so he has had scandal after scandal after scandal. I mean, you were there for his first, and you remember him before he was.
Yeah, that was my introduction to the political world was Loader being Loader.
And it was funny, but it's no longer funny when you're trying to put him in positions of power.
Thanks for that.
The sheer fact that they put him up in this position, it just told me immediately, you know, before we got every other election, like the lists of candidates for every other election, when we got the governors, I sat there and I thought to myself, oh, okay, so you're running Loader and Computer Guy as two out of the three gubernatorial candidates you're going to field. So you've admitted defeat. So you have admitted defeat before.
It's a bad omen for a good election.
I get that the North is not really a great place for the libertarians, but Jefferson was not a good place for the SDP, and now I mean, you know, the SDP UL and all led under the Global Labor Party are going to take over Jefferson. Take over Valerie's home, the place, the state that Valerie built. I mean, it's beyond my. I may have a small brain, but it's still beyond my brain power to comprehend how horribly the libertarians threw this election. Because remember, I am still forced to be present, but not mentally present in all of the discussions of left leadership. And I still understand where they're failing. And they failed in so many places in this election, and won based on the sheer fact that the libertarians gave up before they started. Let's go to Dixie.
So let's talk Dixie.
We've been recording for 52 minutes.
Because we have 3 states left.
We're doing fantastic.
Yeah. Yep, we're doing great. Bo is one of the handful of kind of bright spots in the libertarians right now. And that is in no small part, at least in this election, because he's running as the popular incumbent against a no-name socialist.
Well, and also remember that
which
Bo is
take that for what you will.
Bo is also very
we have him
to you.
Leading by like 35 points. I'm glad that I'm just like the face of this type of like
the moderate
right wingers that the left doesn't hate.
you are what I don't know. You are what Dwight D. Eisenhower would have wet dreams about. That's what we're gonna go with. So District 2.
Well, I do not know how I feel about that. Move on. We're going to move on. We're going to move on.
So in...
Don't make me talk to HR.
HR?
Oh, Jesus Christ, the demon in my room.
That's... Is these our only remaining staff member? No, you fired...
I'm pretty sure I... Oh, did I not fire him?
Jed.
I thought I did. I fired Jed. Because he did one... Yeah, you're the only actual staff.
That's what I thought.
I think we need to hire more staff.
Everyone just said, here, we're going to put...
District 2 is a mess, and I don't know what happened.
And we ended up with John Smith possibly winning a seat, and that is the worst possible outcome of any timeline ever.
It is somewhat comforting that possible win is below 30%.
Yeah, first of all,
which
Dixie,
is why
I
we need
to
burn
personally.
First past the post.
We used to have great friends. I was your.
All right. Were you? I feel
Dixie,
like you
we used
got
to
kind
friends.
Of run out of town.
I was your senator for a pretty long time, and you never contested me. Is it because I blackmailed all of Lohengram's supporters into supporting me because of how much of a dick he was? We don't have to get into the specifics. But when you have a race where John Smith could win with
this part staying in
25% of the vote, it's time we talk about ranked choice voting. Now, Hasan Minhaj has a lovely little piece on ranked choice voting and why we should use it. But ultimately, the best example for you is the fact that John Smith could win a seat. And in a world where John Smith gets his seat again, that's not a world where even a libertarian wants to live. So remember, whoever your next governor may be, ranked choice voting. It keeps the Islamophobes out of the assembly. And District 3
I appreciated that. That's,
yeah.
It's a problem when if you have five candidates in election and like all of them are above 10 points, because I don't care if you put 100 no names where they only vote for themselves and that's just the end of it, because Dixie has write-ins also, so like that's going to be a thing. There's going to be an issue when the winner of this district, 70% of the district did not support them. That's just a problem for democracy.
Right. If that,
and they're going to have work to do to like get that mandate to do anything.
Yeah, Miguel, hopefully.
I feel like it's worth mentioning. I don't even think we said it. Miguel is probably winning.
And of course he ran as a libertarian and then became a socialist and is now independent. So his views are very clear to the public. It's okay.
He's heterodox.
I too have been a part of all of the party. I was also part of the Federalists.
Yeah, you don't get to talk. I've been consistent. Yeah, that was the thing that happened. Remember that time you were saying
never mind. My goal is to
you have an electoral future. Be careful how you talk.
I'm in this mood.
District 3. I'm pretty sure a month ago, had I been recording a podcast, that was during the hiatus. Not long ago, whenever I was talking about Poloman, I was talking about Poloman as like one of you could count on one hand number of rising stars on the right. I don't know if he forgot to show up to work.
The fact that we've had two people die and then came back to life.
That's
a little bit.
It's concerning. Right. I understand we're in bizarre medical times and like things are hard to keep track of. breaking news. But like
to two no names.
I did not think that I would see the day that Poloman lost to a socialist who got twice as many votes. That's nuts.
Why he didn't show up. I mean, obviously with this electorate, I mean their majority every race should look like Bose. Every single race should look like Bose, maybe with the exception of Kevin.
Yeah. Dixie's weird. It's weird that That Dixie is split into two camps of right-wing libertarians who are like Christian conservative and socialists. That's a weird dichotomy to live in a state with.
I didn't either.
I didn't think that this district would swing that much, especially with this candidate like placing third against by like a lot.
Like this is his home district. He didn't move or anything. Obviously, he was dead.
Right.
Yes.
True.
And then of course again, you have
things are weird. So Malcolm looks pretty good. It's just out of what we predict our margin of error is. We do kind of run the analysis on that and try to get this model closer. I don't think we're going to get to zero, but I think my target I would love to shoot for is like 4%. And I say that as someone who does not put a ton of work, only occasional advice into programming this thing. District 4, Phoenix is going to win because there's no one else there. And out of anybody who is going to be in trouble this race, I was kind of thinking it was going to be him just because, like, generally having your speakership removed by your own party because you refuse to put things up to a vote seems like something that would cause issues for you. Apparently not. Apparently that's not even something that causes your opposition to run a candidate against you. So that's
the mantra for this segment is.
I think the mantra for this segment is going to be things are weird.
Different points, so we still have some winners.
Yeah, exactly.
You won't. In District 5.
I'm hoping that I have enough in me to get through the show before I get up.
Yeah, we're doing great.
That's
And then, so then we can move to
killing it.
District 5. We have another weird weird race. Blaze has been back.
Blaze is back. Was he? Oh. Is he?
Please keep this in the podcast.
He is not one that I am in consistent contact with.
This is the entirety of the podcast.
To accomplish things. This one's... I'll leave that in. That was embarrassing. That was embarrassing for me. That was not a off-color joke from you.
Blaze is in the house. Is he?
No, it's going to be 10 seconds of me saying, we tried to record an election special, but Order couldn't behave himself. Okay, so Blaze is not memorable.
Right.
And apparently none of the constituents remembered him either, because he's getting 8%.
Moving past it. Representative Jess. Yeah.
Yes. Jess is going to win against newcomer shooting for life. That's going to be a thing.
No.
Drunk is, I don't think, ever going to leave Dixie.
Seats.
That's his seat.
Yeah. They both often, they are what Caprice and Dan Ryan
wish they were. What? Like, Drunk, I get. Drunk is the left wing version.
Yes.
Drunk is the left version of the me caricature we keep talking about. Of like, you're going to vote your way, but like, we don't mind. It's whatever.
Right.
We will usually put someone up against you because it would be better to have someone on our team up there than you.
Good for Drunk for
but
establishing
that. It's fine. Right. So, no great surprise or great shock that Drunk is going to stay there. Kevin is there.
He is.
He. Sora.
This is why I.
You run out of things to say when you talk about 30 races. There's not something unique that I can babble
Kevin
about
should,
for all of them.
Should never, ever win a race in Dixie. And I mean that in the most loving way possible. But the Libertarians just keep fucking up. Soren wasn't bad, but, like, he was bad. Like,
and Soren wasn't bad.
Soren had, and still does. Correct.
Soren had potential. Soren had great potential, and he continues to have great potential going forward. Just not today.
And so, I don't think we really need to talk too much about the two cabinet positions. JMP is the new Attorney General. Bo or Drunk could be Secretary of State. It goes either way. We have Bo favored by about...
God help us.
What? 1.4%.
Doesn't really matter.
What?
Yep. Six.
Remember, Kate, I'm the one with the political
science. Four. You're right. Math is hard.
Yep.
I'm a science man. I just can't. I came here for reasons. I thought I would do better.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well. Well, originally you were going
to
be
president. I guess I made vice president, so like it worked out. That was a brief flash before the entire right wing collapsed down.
Right. But yeah.
Are you there? Sorry.
Yes, I am.
Brief audio issue.
Oh boy.
We're good.
That's fun. We are good. So yeah. So then we get to literally the most contentious and competitive race. I think, and that's Sandoval versus Trash.
Yes. Affirmative.
This just represents the overall swing of where Dixie went. Governor Sandoval also has the sort of perception from the left of being a ally most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too really adamant on any one topic, and he is very moderate and very understanding and a very good governor. On the other hand, Trash is one of the most aggressive human beings I have ever met in my life.
True.
And apparently, the public of Dixie, at least according to our predictions, is responding more to that aggressiveness. Does the right need to go back to something like Webb? Not saying it does, but it might help.
At least mix a little bit in.
Right. Just, you know, without the whole...
And localize it. You know, that was... I don't think the Dixie strategy of yesteryear would work everywhere.
Right. Let's also not be like the whole make the gays illegal thing. Like that was not fun.
True. Of Webb. I can say as the gays, not a fan.
As a representative from the gays.
I have a feeling that some among the community would have issue with me claiming that for myself, but I won't check my, I will not check my Twitter mentions later. yeah, that one. Yeah. He is my Twitter mentions.
Yeah. We're a tight knit community, guys.
Everybody gets along. Yep. We make jokes. He also worked in this studio for like a minute, so
that's for a single podcast.
Right.
That I don't think ever made it to air.
I'm pretty sure I posted at least cut versions of everything I've recorded. So if he did, it was not one of my shows.
I remember intending to do a show with him and then just didn't.
Yeah. Sandoval's a weird case that causes me to question my polling acumen. Because we took two approval polls since I've been kind of back in doing public record stuff. And
right.
Thank you for keeping us going while I was absent. The first poll showed him at a net approval of -1.2. The second poll, which we took just a couple of days ago, showed him as the most popular individual that we polled in the country at a net of 83.3. I will say the national numbers are much more stable than any of the state numbers because the states are very hard to get sample sizes out of. Mm-hmm. It's like the shift on my national stuff. We're just going to do a wild digression here. Garland only shifted 0.8 over that week. I trust that number. Yeah. I trust that my weighting is working for that number. I moved up 6. I don't know if that's because I'm alive again or what's going on, but like that's sensible.
Right.
I do not trust the 84-point swing.
What?
That seems wrong.
Very.
But at the same time, like, I don't know. I need to work on it. Because Bo only moved from 11 to 19 in that same week.
I think everything else is fine except for Sandoval.
That's, yeah. It's, all of Jefferson broke.
Jefferson is always broke.
We're not there yet. We're not doing Jefferson. I'm just looking at my polling sheet here.
No one can pull
Jefferson. If you think that one was bad, Computer Guy went from a -25 to an 80.
In what world is Computer Guy? Did you have like a huge libertarian swing?
All right, folks, we're doing a polling podcast.
In hour 10, we've decided to change the topic for this.
Here's what happened. No, I see what happened. There was a very, very small libertarian sample size that wildly inflated the influence of that person's vote. That's what happened.
Okay.
So, take the polls when I send them out, and then I don't have results that swing by 85 points.
Then we don't get blindsided when trash might win.
Right. Like, that first poll with him at a -1, all right, that kind of exactly tracks with what you would expect for the result we're seeing.
Right. I think that was more
This second week one. Well, yeah, I was able to get like 40. I was able to get about the response rate that I was looking for out of that first one. People get tired when you send out a poll every week.
Mm-hmm.
They just stop doing it. So enough about me. Even if Sandoval's still in there, he's in trouble. There is not a significant path to the right really having the ability to move much unless Miguel acts more like a libertarian than he does as a socialist.
Who knows?
Alternatively, if Smith wins. And even then, we would need to be very wrong on the Kevin v. Sorin race for them to have a shot at majority.
Correct.
So, and after that, it's a big drop off that I really don't think we messed up that bad.
Yeah. It's,
And then trash, they're going to do their thing. So I am personally, like, I spent most of my political life in Dixie, I will say.
Same.
I am nervous about a united left state legislature with trash as governor.
I am too.
Because not every body has Senator Valerie to grab it by the balls from the minority.
Right. And when Dixie
and like, I don't think that Bo is going to do that.
When Dixie didn't
have I don't think that Phoenix has the acumen to try to do that, even though he might.
Oh, Phoenix will try.
He might want to.
And we will.
But like, we watched him lose his speakership because he tried.
Right.
That did not happen.
We'll watch him try, and then we'll all cry on the inside, realizing right. that Dixie is becoming the USSR, and none of this is going to make it to the podcast.
Oh, I'm leaving it. I will happily be offensive to the left wing that you're. I'm trying that you insist will be holding together yes. for the next month.
We'll be fine.
And that's honestly the story everywhere. Like, there's, we can get to Jefferson shortly, but like, Valerie and Dallas get along. I think I don't have too many flies on that wall, mm-hmm. but like, we can maybe make that work. There's a chance that the Libertarians can still pull out. Like at least a close minority, mm-hmm. if not a bare majority. But Puerto Rico's gone. That's just barely worth glossing over, unless we just want to go into impeachment and why.
Nope.
You know,
I don't want to talk about that.
Nope.
The problem is,
how do you disappear from your job, get impeached, nearly get removed, have kind of a pretty darn contentious. Mm-hmm. trial where you look like you're in trouble and then run uncontested for re-election.
We in the political science world call this a one-party state because it's a state and one party is in control.
Thank you for clearing that up.
It's a rough concept for some people. People get a little, you know, get their whole panties in a twist about it, but it really is. It's just the fact that
that's staying in.
I'm glad it's staying in. Woohoo, panties in a twist. That's going to be easy on me in some negative ad. the problem with Puerto Rico is that it's entirely controlled by the socialists. Nothing
true.
Is, no one's going to... Libertarians know they have no chance. They ran no one. Absolutely no one, unless you consider James a libertarian, which he's not a libertarian, he's just racist.
You're James.
No, are we right?
Oh, that James. There's two Jameses.
So, were you there for the first gubernatorial race? No, you weren't.
I existed. Like, I was there. I was not one of these mystery deaths, right. but I was not paying an incredible amount of attention to state politics.
Incredibly racist. His campaign was made up entirely of pictures of Mexico where they were clearly displaying the Mexican flag. He photoshopped a sombrero and mustache onto Jimmy Carter, and said it was him.
Okay.
And he threw around a few slurs in a rally, that I
read
in an Obama voice. It was a time. September was great. Anyways,
but we're here now. And things are not great.
I think they're fantastic. As the resident leftist, if I have to embrace all of this bullshit, it's fantastic. We're doing great. We're doing lovely things.
We need to maybe expand our ideological
staff. Yeah, we have two libertarians.
I don't think you and I can play a good right winger and left winger. The TPR has always been a centrist mainstream publication. I don't think it's an issue to just own that. And say that I do not enjoy looking at Puerto Rico and having it be all socialist. I do not enjoy looking at Dixie and watching it be turning socialist. I don't particularly like looking at the North and seeing that no one other than the liberals can get it. And it's terrifying to watch my libertarian paradise turn away from the libertarians. So like, things aren't great, and that's okay.
And so on to Jefferson.
We're almost there. We're almost done. My attempt of making this 45 minutes is not going to happen.
You're like, oh, we have 2 hours of recording. We're going to be fine. We're pushing it.
We have 45 minutes left. Oh, we're fine. It's okay.
I'll extend this if I have to. we all know I can.
Capriz is back. He's been out of the news. Hopefully that's impressive. That's good for him.
Okay, so here's the problem. I'm starting off every race that I don't like. I'm starting off every race with here's the problem.
Yep.
So here's the problem. Trent is far more active on Twitter than he ever was in the House, and that's never a good sign for a politician. And Caprice is Caprice.
Yes. I think he's calmed down. He seems normal the last like since I've started tuning back in.
So you're just referencing this election?
No.
Because he was pretty went in his race previous against Rose, Representative McAllister, was off the wall. Like he
Oh, I'm pretty sure some of this made it to me in my bunker.
Remember when he called Dallas a witch in debate? Yeah.
I do. So I do like recall that. Was that one?
What?
No, that was before that. He did it again?
No, but he got pretty close. Like he said thing to that. So calm for Caprice is not going absolutely ballistic.
All right.
And that's probably was putting him.
And he's close. It's a close race.
And then.
Because Trent is. I have not had a ton of interactions with Trent. He seems fine from the couple times we talked.
Trent is no one's had a ton of interactions with Trent. Not even his party.
So, like, right. That's. But, you know. Yeah. This is what happens when you let us talk forever.
This is so bad.
This is what happens when Kevin doesn't cut the interviews in 10 minutes.
When Kevin doesn't come in with a plan, order goes...
When I do not script every question.
When Kevin does not figure out exactly where he wants the conversation to go, we end up like Epsilon, and we go for an hour 30.
Right. Yeah, and we're well on our way.
Kestrel, the freak.
Yep.
I have problems with people who are borderline, like, what's the best way to explain this? Like, John Smith and Kestrel are both very extremely Christian.
Okay, programming note. Why do you have this one marked as outside or in the margin of error when it is not?
For Dixie and Jefferson, the margin of error is 5% both ways.
That is not 5%. Right. Oh, like 5%. You mean okay? Ways. Not. Got it. Okay, I thought it was a bracket of 5%.
It's a.
So that makes more sense.
Because I don't know how to predict write-ins, and I don't have the motivation to attempt to come up with some sort of.
I told you how to do it. Just subtract 2.
Well, I don't want to.
That sounds so much easier. Valerie's gonna win. Oh, yeah. Also, I think we just mentioned Kestrel in the last race. He's down by 8 points. Rose McAllister is most likely taking that seat from Global Labor. That'll be their first. I don't think you can do math. It's 8.5.
Yeah, you're right.
I think I said 8.
I thought it was 11 for some reason.
Nope, that's not how numbers work.
Breaking news.
The very professional data team here at TPR.
We pollster the top predictions.
That's right.
Silver can't fucking.
We both do polls. We'll call it good.
Do addition. That's subtraction. It's not even.
Yeah.
And just. Yeah.
So Valerie's going to win.
Yes.
She's the only one running. That's how it goes. So Jefferson will have its person to keep it in control, even from the minority. Sandra's.
He
winning
up a good fight, but
I guess
ultimately...
he did. Sanders one of those who's up there and like can get herself
the
pretty well established.
Anyone on the left wins here is just because of Global Labor Party dominance in this state,
which is wild because this is the only, literally the only place that they exist. And I'm sure some of that's strategic, but
it's
props to any party that literally has the ability to tell their members to get, rent a U-Haul, pick up all their shit, and move to a different state just so you can elect candidates. That's impressive to me.
Much less of
that's a lot of control.
Of, hey, who lives in Jefferson and also has these beliefs? I think that was more of the forming of the party rather than asking people to move. If I'm going to be honest with you. Because
I mean, that's fair.
People
that, I'm,
who
yeah.
are running had lived in Jefferson prior.
Is true. But also, exactly. You don't get statewide dominance for having three people. That's so like, five. I don't know. Maybe it's shifting. We got a rook. Well, we got a race full of rookies in District 5.
Again, is a representative.
I need you to mark this sheet for me so that I don't do this. Once again, an individual. Actually, I. This is bad because I actually knew Oliver from like way back when before either of us were in the political world. So, like, clearly we're out of touch. But yes, Representative Price. Not looking so hot on the state level. Yes. Gregory Crane, who has made something of a name for himself in DC Council, one of those kind of regular members who actually does things. He has a chance. He's in that margin of error. Most likely, we're looking at Battle Axes. I'm going to say that that's how that's pronounced.
Libertarian wins in Jefferson.
Yes. And I'm going to dare to say, rookie, know with this, I think. I'm at least relatively sure that he has not run before. But I do not know. So it's going to be either a Libertarian or an independent pickup. GLP did not run there. United Left kind of ran there. I just don't have a personal story with Ekaterina. So,
But yeah.
Ekaterina does not get a personal
and then,
story.
In District 6, we have two newcomers.
Yeah, October. He had a Twitter rant and lost his mind.
That's probably why Brandon's going to win.
That could be part of it. Mm-hmm. That could very well be.
You don't need to spend too much time there.
Round it out. Alligators winning.
Uncontested. Former senator. There you go. Yeah.
Yes. That's, yep. Governor, Dallas. I don't know why. And I like Dallas. This is going to turn mean. I don't want it to turn mean because I like Dallas. I don't know why I continue to have high expectations for places to pick their governors. Dallas is not on my short list of people I would have recruited. But they did. And clearly Jefferson agreed. Godspeed.
Running, I think, is entirely due to the Global Labor Party popping up.
Oh, I'm sure. But, like, I understand that Epsilon was not eligible.
Well, technically, neither was Ted.
But, like...
Oh,
that's true.
Make sacrifices, this is true. But I think Epsilon wanted to stay on the national level.
Yeah. I think... Well, Ted makes less sense because there's, like, a breadth of SDP candidates that you could have picked up to do that job without... I mean, not that... This raises any indication that Senate seat is not in danger. Like, I don't think they were concerned about losing it. But, you know what? Ted, do your thing. We've had our fights. So, whatever makes you happy. And that's the show. Any thoughts while we're here? Because we have 31 more minutes of potential recording time. I don't think I've mentioned this, and just on the off chance that anyone has actually made it to this point in the show, we are recording this Monday evening. I think we started about 9 o'clock. It is currently a little past 10:15. No. And who knows when we'll be done. All right. I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure if this one cuts off, I could just start a new one and we could do another 2 hours. So yeah, we're going to get this out before
hopefully
ballots are counted because it's COVID. And sometimes things just take a while. So we're waiting. We're going to have a great show for you. Are you going to be here? Are you available or am I running this thing? Cool, because I did not want to figure out how to do that. So our producers, which means most of the order here, and I might help if requested and given very specific instructions. We'll be getting that put together in the next couple of days. It's going to be pretty great. If you're interested in being a guest on that show, as we said, we are two boring centrists slash libertarians who hate everyone. So if you have an ideology that actually has a horse in this race, feel free to reach out and maybe we can get you on.
Please come commentate.
That would be fun. I have been very close to getting Valerie on the weekly a couple of times, and the timing just hasn't worked out. But we'll maybe this would be the one where she actually joined in. That it's possible. I don't think. I mean, I don't anticipate her having her personally having a bad night such that she would need to be upset. Tested. But as far as party leader, that's right. But like, it's going to be a rough night for the Gold team. Probably. Or we're wrong, which would be great for me and wrong. Bad for the company.
I think we should be very wrong.
Okay.
This has been fun.
Well, that's the show, folks. That's I don't know how coherent it was, because at various points, either the audio stopped or the raccoons got busy, or Mr. Order, who is currently doing his thing in the background, keeps trying to get himself fired
as American people
for various inappropriate comments.
There is no
which include to this moment
white America. There is no Black America.
We'll be back on Thursday.
United States of America. Okay, so are we?
I was trying so hard. We'll be back on Thursday for the results show. With your always stoic,
just remember,
very professional hosts.
So is he.
James Order, thank you again for taking the time to join us. Thank you again to James Order for taking the time to sit down. That was a lot of fun. I have a hunch that it'll make some news on its own if anybody managed to listen to the whole thing. We will be back with a slightly more well-produced results show come Thursday, so make sure you tune in. Remember to subscribe to the weekly if for some reason you enjoyed this, and we'll be back.